Good morning. If you guys want to stand with us this morning, we're glad you're here. Isaiah 40 says, "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and he gives strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." What I love about Sundays is that we get to come here and be reminded. We get to be reminded that trusting in him renews us. We get to be reminded of his goodness. We get to be reminded of his faithfulness. So this morning, I just encourage you just to set aside everything that may have just be clouding your mind and focus on the one who says, "In your weakness, I am strong." When you are feeling down, I'm here to lift you up and who reminds you of who you are and be renewed this morning and who he is and who you are. Amen.
Thank you.
Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, that's my prayer. I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Overwhelm us. I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overwhelm. Pursue after you, God. You chase after us, Lord. You were so good. You were so good. You were so good.
Desperate for your touch, a glimpse of heaven through the glory of your Son. And in a moment, you can turn a life away, forever to be found in you. And I am reaching out to find there's nothing greater that holds my life.
I belong to you. Amen. So this morning I was, I didn't want to get up, to be honest with you. And it was one of those mornings. And when I got here, man, just, I've been in a great mood. And it's like that fire inside of me. It's always there, but you don't acknowledge it sometimes, you know. And when I got here, it's just like I acknowledged that fire within me. And I've just had a wonderful morning and just singing and praising God. And we're not singing, Ralph told me this, we're not singing to God. We're singing with Him, together. And what an awesome feeling, what an awesome, awesome day it is to be here in the house of the Lord.
Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
over and over and over and over again this morning. And it says, "Captivate us, Lord Jesus. Set our eyes on you." And the more and more I sang the lyrics of that song, "Captivate us, set our eyes on you," the more the scripture came to me, "Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." You see, that's what that means, is captivate us. That means, and I've had to remind myself this week to do that. And as I began to listen to those lyrics and for that scripture to start stirring within me, kind of like Brandon said, he just had this, that fire is there, this awareness of it. But this, that awareness of to be able to, because so many places in scriptures it says, "Fix your eyes on me and the peace that passes understanding will flow through you." It says, hold on to these thoughts, let go of these other thoughts. But when it says to demolish every argument and pretense that's not of what who he is, of what he's, who he says you are, or for what sometimes we believe lies, and a lie believed as truth will affect you as though it's true. So when you say, "Captivate us, Lord Jesus, set our eyes on you," you're saying, "Father, I'm agreeing today and tomorrow and the next day to take captive every thought and make it obedient to your word, to your truth." So if you're feeling, if you felt this week that I'm just weak or I'm not strong enough, that's the lie. The truth is, you in your weakness, I am made strong within you. Well, if you've believed this week, I'm going to deal with the same issue over and over again. The truth is that greater is he that is within you than he is within the world. If you think God is never going to make good at this mess, God is never going to, I'm never going to get through this and see with eyes more clearly, and life's not going to be comfortable for me or good for me, you, here's the truth. You hold this thought, and it says that he works all things together for your good. And so, like I encouraged myself in that, you encourage yourself to take captive every thought. So when you say, "Captivate us, Lord Jesus, set our eyes on you," you say, "God, I surrender every thought and I make it obedient to your truth and to your word." Amen. Amen.
Your face is beautiful, and your eyes are like the stars. Your gentle hands have healing there inside the scars. Your loving arms, they draw me near, and your fellowship is sweet. Draw me closer, oh my Lord, draw me closer, Lord, to thee. Captivate
appreciate all these young people and what they do, but this one's been here for over 30 years doing what she's doing. Thank you for being here. Thank you. I want to read our theme scripture or paradigm shift scripture that we are focusing on. And just want you to listen intently, and then we're going to talk about some other things. But it says, "Then Paul standing before the council addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you're very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines and one of your altars and this inscription on it to the unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Though he is not far from any of us, For in him we live, move, we have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. When they heard Paul speak about all of this, some laughed in contempt. Oh, that can't be. We can't be his offspring. And they just mocked and poked fun. Others said, we want to hear more about this later. We want to procrastinate just a little bit. And maybe when I get a little bit older, I'll consider this fact. Maybe just later on, let's talk about this some other time. That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. Aren't you glad you did that? Aren't you glad that you decided sometime in your life to join him? Even though he's never been far from us, even though we've always been his offspring and he's always resided with us, he said, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I go into hell, you're there. Wherever I go, you're there. And now that I'm acknowledging that and I'm believing in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I'm confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm saved. And that word saved doesn't mean you're saved from hell to go to heaven, or I'm saved from this or saved from that. I'm saved. I'm made whole. I'm made whole. Now I'm not just a body. Now I realize I'm way more than this flesh and blood. Now I realize that I am in him, living and moving and having my being, because I have believed in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. And I've confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been made whole, spirit and soul and body. Aren't you glad of that? Are you glad that one day you will awaken to the fact of who you really are? And you're way more than what you see in the mirror. You're way more than what people have said about you. You're way more than what even your parents said about you. You're way more than what your friends say about you. You're way more than what anybody, anywhere, at any time has ever said about you. You are who God has said about you. And what God has said about you is more important than everybody's voice of saying about you. Because God has said about you that you are mine. You are mine. You are mine, and I am yours. And that in itself is something to be so grateful and so thankful for. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Sometimes you just need to pause and remember back to the time when you and God met. Even though he was always there. Aren't you glad that one day you met him? You met him. You know, two people can live in the same house and not be together. Two people can dwell in the same house and not be one. And it was that way with us. We finally met God in the house that he created and built. Not made with hands, not a temple, a brick and mortar and stone, but a being that he lives in. Aren't you glad of that? And so one day, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says to them, now I've been doing a lot of things and you've heard me teach a lot of things. You've seen the dead raised. You've seen blinded eyes open, deaf ears open. You've seen people set free. And you've seen all of this, but I want to ask you something. Who do men say I am? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah, because Elijah was prophesied in Malachi that Elijah would come before him and pave the way. And Some say you're Jeremiah because you're such a compassionate person. And some say you're John the Baptist resurrected from the dead, that something really had to happen awesome in John the Baptist's life because he was a forerunner. And so some people say, and you must be him resurrected from the dead. Then Jesus looked at his 12 and he said, this is who men say that I am. Who do you say that I am? And Peter looked at him and Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. And I'll come back to that later on because, see, we didn't find God. God has always been with us. And he said, my Father revealed this to you. And you are Peter, you are Petros. You are a piece of the rock, but upon this rock, Petros, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Because you are a piece of me. I'm the Petros. I'm the massive rock. And he was standing in Caesarea, which was built on a huge, massive rock. And so Jesus looked at this huge, massive rock and gives them a lesson of who he is. I am a rock. I'm a massive rock that you're built on. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And as I said last week, we don't win some of the battles. We can win all the battles. I've heard it said, and I used to say it, I may lose some battles, but I'm going to win the war. You don't. Whoever wins the most battles wins the war. Who wins the battles wins the war. You can't win the war and not win the battles. And so we have the privilege of knowing that we can win all the battles. But you got to go win it with the attitude to win. Right? As I said last week, I played on a lot of sports teams, and I played on a few that had some guys on the team. They just didn't care if we won or lost. They didn't care. They just wanted to play the game. But I liked it when I was on the team, and they cared whether we won or lost. We wanted to win not some games, every game. Now, I want to give you the context of where Jesus said what he said here to Peter. And it starts in the first verse of chapter 16. One day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were arch enemies. They hated each other. But it's amazing how people can come together for a cause to come against somebody else. And so what happened is these Pharisees and Sadducees got them up a coalition of criticism, and they came to test Jesus and to test him, and they asked for a sign from where? Heaven. They'd already seen signs from earth. They had seen signs in earth. But they test Jesus, we want to see a sign from heaven to prove his authority. And he replied, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow, red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Only an evil and adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give you is a sign of the prophet Jonah. And I want to stop there for a moment. He did eventually give them their sign from heaven. On the cross, at noon, the earth became completely dark until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Here's your sign. here's your sign. And after that, it says that so many miraculous things started happening that even one of the soldiers standing there said, truly, this was the Son of God. And Caiaphas, the high priest, written in history, on the night of his death, when he died on the cross, after he, not his resurrection, not, but this was before his resurrection, even Caiaphas the high priest said, I'm afraid we have crucified the Son of God. I'm afraid we have crucified the Son of God. You know how to interpret all these natural things, but you can't interpret the Spirit. Later, after they crossed the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten bread, to bring any bread. Watch out, Jesus warned. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware is a big old... How many's ever seen a sign in a yard that says, beware of dog? Unless you're an idiot, you really open your eyes. And you're not going in there unless you're being aware of the dog. Years ago, I was 20-something years old in the ministry, and I thought anytime somebody asked me to do something, I had to do it. I just had to do it. So I get a phone call, and this lady says, I have a friend, and she's dying with cancer. Would you go to her house tonight and pray for her? I've told her that you would come. I said, okay, give me the address. She gave me the address, so I go to the house, and there's a fence, and there's a big red sign on the gate, beware of dog. And I'm going, I'm not going in. And so by that time, she comes out on the porch, says, oh, let me get the dog. So she puts a dog up, and she says, come on in. Well, unbeknown to me, she's drinking vodka the whole time I'm there. She's going into the kitchen, having a drink, coming back. Going into the kitchen, having a drink, coming back. Going into the kitchen, having a drink, coming back. Finally, I said, you know, I need to pray for you and go. She said, you can't go until you kiss me. I said, now, ma'am, I'm not going to do that. And she said, you're not leaving here until you kiss me. I said, ma'am, I'm not going to kiss you. And please get your dog. I got to go. I finally got wise. She wouldn't let me go. I finally got wise, and I said, what if I hug you? I ain't an idiot. She said, well, if you'll give me a hug. I gave her a hug. And out the door, she got the dog because it said, beware of the dog. I want to tell you something. There's something more to beware about than dogs and people and things. It's doctrines from hell. It's traditions of men. And he says, beware of these Pharisees and these Sadducees. Then they begin to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying. So he said, you have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again, I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast and bread, but about the deceptive teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees are still here. We just don't call them that, but they're still here. Now, the Pharisees accepted the scriptures as the word of God, but they added to them the teachings and traditions of their oral law, which to them was more important than the written law. Yeah. they put more stock in the traditions passed down through time with man, the oral law spoken from generation to generation to generation. They put more stock in what people said than they did what God said. And they added to it. Just like in the beginning when Adam and Eve was in the garden and the serpent came to them and said, has God said you can't eat any of the trees of the garden? They said, no, he didn't say we could eat any. He said, just one. Just one. So they either added to it or they took away from it. Now the Sadducees, they accepted only the first five books of Scripture. They did not believe in spirits, in angels, in miracles, or the resurrection of the dead. That's why they were sad, you see. I couldn't help saying that. I had to say that every time. They're sad because they didn't believe in anything. They believed death was it and it was all over. So you got traditionalism and you got rationalism. And I'll tell you something, both of them will kill you. Rationalism, you know, we've all said it. That person's so irrational. And there's a truth to that. Sometimes we need to be rational about some things. You can't be rational about spiritual things. How's it rational? You give me 10% and your 90% will go further. Is that rational? You give me 10% of bring your tithe in and your 90% will be so much more than your 100%. Or if you give, it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Or if you do this, you can bear 30, 60, and 100 fold. Those aren't rational figures. And so the Sadducees, they just don't want to believe in anything, and so they're going to let their rationalism destroy everything. And so sometimes when we say certain things, even here, sometimes we go, whoa, that don't sound rational. Of course it doesn't sound rational. It's not rational. It's spiritual. And he that is spiritual compares spiritual things with spiritual things. And that's what Jesus came to do. And so, as we talked last week, and I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 3, 2-3, this is the Logos of God. How many love this book? The Logos of God. It's the written book. But this book, the destiny of the Logos Word of God, I want you to listen intently. I said it, I'm going to probably say it for the next couple of months. The destiny of the written Word of God was not the printed page. God didn't say, I think I want a book. I think I want to write a book. I think I want to be on the bestseller list. And this still is number one bestseller of all time and still the bestseller every year. It's not put anywhere, but it's still the best-selling book. But God didn't write this book to have a bestseller. He didn't write the book to be able to say, God, author, God wrote it. He did not put this, the destiny of this book was not the printed page. The destiny of this book is you. The greatest translation of this book is not King James. I love King James. I started with King James. It's not New International Version. I love New International Version. That's not the best translation. Then I went from New International Version to the New American Standard Version. I went from the New American Standard Translation to the New King James Version. And then I went from the New King James Version to the New Living Translation. But the greatest translation is the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved on the tablets of not on the tablets of stone, but on human hearts. The greatest translation is you. The greatest translation is when the engrafted word becomes the implanted word, and the implanted word becomes the incarnate word, and the incarnate word becomes the lived out word, and the lived out word becomes the greatest translation that people see in the earth, is they see a people living out the word. They see happy, content, courageous, joyful, winning people. And they read that book and they go, wow, I want that. I want that. They don't. You can preach to them all you want. And you can tell them all you want. But what they want is to see it in you. Amen? So, 1 Peter chapter 2. Ironic. Coincidental. That Peter writes these words. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is a stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. Ironic that the Peter who said you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the same Peter who said you are also a piece of the rock and you are a living stone. That's where God lives. That's where God lives. Now, yeah, you can handle this. Jesus looks at Peter. You are a Petros. You are a piece of the rock. It was only a few minutes later. Jesus is walking with his disciples from that awesome encounter moment. And Jesus says, I need to tell y'all something else. I'm got to go to the cross. I'm going to die. Peter, same Peter who just hit one out of the ballpark, same Peter says, no, Lord, you're not. That's not going to happen. And Jesus turns around and says to the same Peter who just said, you're a piece of the rock. He calls him Satan. I like you, Ike. You always bring out something in me when I get over here. I feel something coming. The same guy, dude, he just said, you're Peter, you're a piece of the rock. Now he says, you're Satan. You say, Beery, where are you going with this? Don't know yet. I don't know. I really don't, Joe. I really don't. Wow. But let me get back over here and see if I can come out. Something. Wow. You didn't come up with this on your own, Peter. God revealed it to you. Quite a revelation. But now, get behind me, Satan. Wow. Wow. Brandon, we'll get there in a minute. Where are we? What? So, where's God? Where's Satan? Where's God? Where's Satan? Wherever your heart and thoughts and mind are. Whatever you are thinking at that moment. Because I can even have God in my life, resurrected God in my life, living a life of fulfillment and contentment and joy. Or I can change my mind and say something else and think something else and live a life that's filled with evil, Satan's thoughts. Therefore, I want to bring every thought into captivity. Because that's what it's all about. Because as a man thinks in his heart, he is that. Eric, would you just join me up here? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, it's what it's all about. Who do you say that I am? Now the question is, not to Peter, not to the 12, it's to you right now. Who do you say he is? Who am I going to say he is? He's a son of the, it's important that you hear this word, living God. Living, existing, moving, being with you. Not somewhere way off, somewhere very nigh thee. Very near thee. In you. We live and we move. We have our being, our existence, our hope, our joy. Not a life of, I'm just existing. Not a life of no purpose. But now we have a purpose. And it's three simple purposes. As a priest, I have access to God. I can go right to God as a priest. As a priest, I can bring somebody along with me. I can say, come on, you can go with me. You know how I get to God? Two main ways I get to God, God gets to me, and I get this stuff with Him, is that I go to Him or somebody brings me to Him. I either just go directly to Him myself or one of you bring me to it. Sometimes it just needs a word of encouragement. Sometimes somebody's down and out and another priest comes up to them and just says, ah, you're not that. And gives them an encouraging word and all of a sudden they come back to God. So we either come into God or we're bringing somebody to God or somebody's bringing us to God and reminding us who we are. Then the last thing says, and you show forth the goodness of God. You show forth the goodness of God. Wow. I wish there was a church. I wish there was a church that just brought people to God. I wish there was a church that just brought the goodness of God to people. I wish there was a church that really believed that in Him we live and we move and we have our being. I wish it was a church that really did believe that we're not to condemn and to judge anybody, but we're to lift everybody up because we are the offspring of God. And there's a God who says in earth that every family under heaven is named by Him and they belong to Him. And Revelation chapter 5 said that if they saw somebody who came up and he took the scroll from the one who's in his hand, and he said he looked like a lamb. He kind of looked like he had been slain. He kind of looked like from the foundations of the world. And he came and he took the scroll and he opened the scroll and began to read it out. He began to tell them who they were. He began to read them the title deed of planet Earth. He began to read them and all that they have. He began to give them a brand new seal of contract, if you will. And he says, this has been sealed in my blood. And now you all have become a kingdom of priests unto our God. And he said, and then every voice in heaven and every voice in earth and every voice under the earth began to cry out and say, blessing and honor and glory unto Him who has redeemed us by His blood and who's made us a kingdom of priests unto our God. I wish there was a church. I wish there was a church that believed that, that believed who they were, who believed that they're who God says they are and not who people says they are. Oh, I wish there was a church. I wish there was a church that would rise up above everything else, the traditions of men and the rationalization of ever what's coming, and say, we know who we are and we're convinced who we are, and we know that He helped go complete in us what He began in us because He's in us. Oh, I wish there was a church. Oh, I wish there was a church. You are. You are that church. You are that church. And it's real. It's real. It's so real. It's more real than you know. It's more real than I know. It's going to be coming more and more and more real. Because the Logos becomes the implanted, and the implanted becomes the incarnated, and the incarnated becomes the lived out, walked out Word of the living God. Bow your head. You're here today, and you want this made real in you. You come today thinking you were someone else. You come today with an identity, what others have said about you, what you said about yourself. And you got this false identity. But you want the identity that we're talking about. You want the identity that God wants to be in you and live in you and move in you. That He wants you to know how much He loves you and how much He cares for you. Would you just lift up your hand and say, I want that new identity. God bless you. Anybody else, I want that. God bless you. Bless you. Let's just all stand together. And I want us all to make this confession. You know, I've been for the last month, and I've known this passage of scripture. It's called the Roman Road. And it's been quoted. It's being quoted right now all over the world. There's people standing just like you're standing right here. And there are people coming to altars, and they're coming down and they're making this confession. But every time I begin to quote that in my heart, now I see it in such a broad, a greater light that if you believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Can you see that? Can you see that with me? That it's not here, it's coming out here, believe in your heart. If gosh, it's so much more than it's believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. You'll be made whole. Oh, church, we're not here because we don't want to go to hell. We're here because we don't want to live in hell. We're not here because we want to go to heaven. We're here because we want to live that heavenly life now. When I die, yes, I die. I go to heaven. I go to this unseen world. But listen, there's heaven and hell right here on earth, and you're in one or the other. You're in hell or you're in heaven. Peter went from here being God to here being called Satan. All from a different way of thinking. We, as a family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we make the confession today that we have believed in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. We have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are made whole. Spirit, soul, and body. You are made whole. Spirit, soul, and body. You have been made whole. Spirit, soul, and body. We, from this age, to this age, have been made whole in spirit and soul and in body. And no one has any right or any place to be in this body other than the living, breathing God who breathed breath into our being, and we became a living soul, not a living body. A living, breathing soul. And now we are made whole. Jeff, we are made whole. 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 And our thoughts, we're going to bring into captivity of who we are every day, every moment, every hour. Because it's going to happen, Brandon, this week. You're going to have a thought that's opposite of what it really is. And we got to bring that thought into captivity and say, oh no, that's not who I am. This is who I am. And I refuse those thoughts. And I bring them into captivity of who I really am. Really am. You see, I try to do this a lot, all the time, every day, but I really do it on Sunday mornings. And I do it on my way here because you probably don't know this, but I've had thoughts coming to church. Who are you? Who are you to stand up before these people and say these things? Who do you think you are to do that? Yep. But then, on the way, every Sunday morning, I make confessions. I'm a son of the living God. I'm a piece of the rock. I'm a lion. I'm a king's kid. I'm a priest unto God. The word of the living God is in me, and I got the right to stand up and say what I say, to whom I say it to, because I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's been able to keep that unto him, and I'm going to come into everything he's got for me because I know who I am. And so when I walk up to that podium, I don't walk up there in a measly way. I walk up there with authority. I walk up there as a lion-hearted person. I walk up there knowing who I am in Christ. Ha! That's not arrogancy. That's just plain fact, folks. That's just plain fact. That's just plain fact. Aren't you glad that you are that? He's, you got it.
If you have your connection cards, you can prepare in those. Get ready to drop those in the offering bucket. They will be coming by in just a moment. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can, your tithes, your offerings, your alms, if you want to put those in an envelope, we have those scattered around. You can do that. If you just write it on the bottom of your check, you can do that. Lots of you are beginning to do it, pay online, or do your tithes online. And so that, at the website, you can do that too. So if you have fixed a pot of chili or said that you were fixing a pot of chili, if you haven't done that yet, go home and do that right away so it can meld. Please bring that between 4:30 and 4:45, because at 5 o'clock we were going to begin eating, okay? So we will have about an hour of eating. We have three judges from the community that will be here, and then we will also be doing the People's Choice Award. So there will be lots. If you have a friend, this is a great time to invite them. Non-threatening. Pastor's not singing. You never know. It might happen. Also this week, please be in prayer. This weekend is Disciple Now Weekend for our youth. And this is time that we set aside. We have some guest speakers that are coming in. Brittany and Andy Toms are coming in. Going to be speaking to them on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. So some of you have even given funds for those that have had difficulties coming up with the funds. They've got a big activity planned on Saturday. They're going to Snow Mountain. So keep those in your prayers. So, first Wednesday's coming up soon. I'm excited. God's a good God. You should have already been coming down the rows, passing those buckets out. Come on down. Thank you. I'm trying to think if I've forgotten anything else while we're waiting on them to come down. I think we're good. Y'all are good folks. Do you know we had, I think you said 30? About 30 people that were involved in volunteering for Rush and Hope this weekend. That's awesome. About 300 meals were served, and it took folks on Friday that were cooking and putting it all together, and then others came up early on Saturday morning and got it heated up, and others went and served it some. We had guys out on the docks giving away clothes and toys and furniture. Your presence making a difference in this community. Lord, I thank you that we can come. Lord, we can have church. Lord, when I say that, I mean that we can commune with you, that you can speak to us, we can hear your voice, Lord, we can worship you. I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that you'll use these tithes and these offerings and these alms, Father, for the furtherment of your kingdom, to touch people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand and let's worship.
Desperate for your touch, a glimpse of heaven through the glory of your Son. And in a moment, you can turn a life around, forever to be found in you. And I am reaching out to find, there's nothing greater that holds my life, your grace and mercy that has saved me by your blood and swept away my shame. Oh Lord, your love is like fire. My only desire.
to